1590 AM Denmark, 2250 CB Green Bay, and always streaming out of the
70 ABC News, I'm Andy Field. The House has narrowly passed a bill that will increase the debt ceiling by $1.5 trillion. Also cut federal spending. Majority Leader Steve Scalise.
House Republicans are not going to sit on the sidelines. We're going to lead and present a solution. That's what this bill is.
A bill, though not expected to pass the Senate, and the President says he vetoed it. Montana Republicans banning transgender lawmaker Zoe Zephyr from the House for the rest of the 2023 session is in retaliation for her scolding lawmakers over a ban on gender-affirming care for children.
I rose up in defense of my community that day, speaking to harms that these bills bring and that I have firsthand experience knowing about.
She'll still be allowed to vote remotely. President Biden and the South Korean president revealing a new plan to counter North Korea's nuclear threat by sending a U.S. nuclear ballistic sub to South Korea. Stocks fell again on Wall Street. This is ABC News. British regulators blocking Microsoft's $69 billion deal to buy video game maker Activision Blizzard over competition concerns. Texas lawmakers are taking on Meta, Twitter, and TikTok.
In the social media Wild West, just about anyone can sign up for an account, including minors.
Our children are not the customers of these platforms. They are the commodity being traded.
Texas City Representative Shelby Slauson says the youngest users may not understand what they're signing up for.
Their young minds are being shaped by addictive algorithms, and their attention spans are being captured and curated in directions that serve corporate bottom lines.
Her proposal would require parental consent for anyone under 18 to open a social media account. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
Progress in the Roman Catholic Church. For the first time in the Church's 2,000-year history, women will have the right to vote at the meeting of bishops. Pope Francis is approving the change of the Vatican body. Andy Field, ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Wisconsin's coronavirus emergency is officially over. The Department of Health Services says it will transition away from emergency footing as the Biden administration prepares to end the national emergency declaration in about 2 weeks. EHS Secretary Kirsten Johnson urges people in Wisconsin not to let their guard down just because the emergency declarations are passing. Wisconsin's top Democrats are lining up behind President Biden's re-election bid. Wisconsin Democratic Party Chairman Ben Winkler says there's no path to the White House without winning Wisconsin. Congressman Mark Pocan tells the Journal Sentinel that progress under Biden is the fastest he's seen in 30 years. In sports, the Bucks are out of the playoffs after last night's Game 5 overtime loss to Miami. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole king caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay, then. Bye.
You know him as the nose tackle for your green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again in 2001 to 2003, 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football. You're about to find out under the helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
He's a Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown.
Where do you go where it's always extended room only? You ain't gonna find that in Chicago.
It's never personal, only politics.
You ain't gonna find that in Minnesota with extended room only. That's the way it is, man. We love football fans love us.
We did for the sex on a local city media radio station and on the app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance or VA Life. VA life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you're age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA life insurance.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you can share with your kid.
Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake?
No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find language, find the lyrics. Start the conversation at soundoutbehavior.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Federal Adventures.
Here to speak directly to the woke mob.
The liberals have basically made up this whole agenda that guacamole is made of avocados. It's not the truth.
Take off, tee off. This is it.
Moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bryan with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada yada yada.
Should parents outside of a school district, they do not have kids in that school district, they don't even live in that school district as a resident, be able to contribute to school board meetings? 844-967-2789. So if you're a parent or a concerned citizen, it is your right, no matter what off-the-wall thing you would like to say, to contribute at a public meeting for a school board. And I ask because there was an incident that kind of starts like a bad joke.
Seriously.
I think the joke would start something like this. A mom walks into a school board meeting with a dildo, a fake vagina, and a righteous attitude.
I love it.
I don't know what the punchline is yet, but it is supposed to sound like a joke, and yet is not. And unfortunately, it is something that has happened in Wisconsin this week. Conservative activist Alexandra Schweitzer, who is the head of Parents on Patrol and No Left Turn in Education in Wisconsin, shocked those attending a Merton school board meeting earlier this week by bringing props.
Yes!
So she pulled out sex toys while testifying before the board. And so she used, but I still don't fully grasp this. Dan Weiss wrote this up. It's been talked about on Twitter. I've had some people send me the clips of this. I think we have a clip of it. So let's just play that.
This is courtesy of WISN-TV.
This is a moment one woman at a Merton school board meeting pulled out a couple of props that shocked the room.
This has nothing to do with her.
This is exactly what you had your this.
Merton School District took down their usual recording of Monday's board meeting, reposting a heavily redacted version Tuesday. But cell phone video 12 News obtained shows the sensitive topic in full, though we have blurred the items she's holding.
Why is it inappropriate for a group of adults? Why is it inappropriate? This is for acreage.
So it's kind of hard. It's, you know, this is cell phone footage, so it's kind of hard to tell everything that's going on. She's got the parent who brought the props is clearly fired up, but it's also the fact that she is talking about, she's in a Merton school board district. She lives in Oconomowoc, and she's talking about a sex ed curriculum in Wauwatosa. And so the whole thing kind of feels like, what? Are you in the right place? Are you lost? Like, what's happening right now? And so the question, and so basically she got cut off after 3 minutes. But I think that's standard practice at some of these public meetings. You only have so long to talk, otherwise everyone's going to be there forever.
Seriously, if you don't have a limit, there are certain people who will never stop.
And so she ended by saying, I will let my lawyers know that you are denying me my free speech, which, again, I don't think it's an infringement of free speech when there are rules set up for public forums and, like, they let her talk whatsoever. But my thing is, as we are seeing, so her groups that she is a member of is going back, No Left Turn in Education, Parents on Patrol. These sound like similar groups to Moms for Liberty.
Yes.
And, you know, the Righteous Brigade of trying to protect children from inappropriate things at school, like, should extend to school districts outside of your community. Like, is this fair game? 844-967-2789. And I think you should be allowed to talk. I don't think it's like you shouldn't be allowed to talk, but it just feels like a waste of everybody's time.
Well, and why should this person, who again does not live in this school district, does not have children attending this school district, certainly she could say her piece, but I don't know why that would carry any weight.
And that's what, so several parents during the meeting were criticizing her because she doesn't live in the district, she doesn't have children there. She was talking about something that was happening in Wauwatosa, and I guess she was there defending
a board member.
A board member who had been, I guess, was censured or something for online bullying and using the C word was twice this week. And who do you think he learned it from? No, I'm just kind of a joke. And you know what's so interesting about this is yesterday on Twitter, Wisconsin Right Now went after her. And it was interesting to see, I mean, I actually give them respect, Wisconsin Right Now being a conservative media outlet in Wisconsin. And then they had a whole Twitter thread saying not only was she wrong to do this, but also that you're giving the left fodder for us to make us look bad by doing things like this. And, you know, getting into the actual actions is kind of beyond. It's funny to make fun of just because showing up at a school board meeting with sex toys is a hilarious sight. But it's also, like, because there's a bigger movement happening that is in Wisconsin, that is everywhere, where, and this was one of the quotes from John Norcross, from a Dan Bice article documenting the whole thing, and he said he found her behavior shocking, but not surprising, and he said that since the pandemic, the Milwaukee suburban districts have been besieged by agitators, such as her group. They staged stunts like this one we saw in Merton in order to manufacture outrage and evoke an emotional reaction. In the end, it serves to undermine public schools and sow distrust of educators, all through misinformation and theatrics. If someone genuinely wanted to change TOSA's sex ed curriculum, you wouldn't go about it by showing up at a school board meeting in a separate district and pulling out sex toys to make your point. And so that's what I want to come back to, because it's not just this one incident. It's not just these groups. Vice has an article this week titled, "A Far-Right Moms Group is Terrorizing Schools in the Name of Protecting Kids." And I just, what are the limitations that people are willing to put on school board meetings to mitigate what is starting to sound like harassment in some cases?
Absolutely. And I personally believe that this is part of a larger drive to kill public education. That is the goal, I think, of some of these far-right groups. They want to kill public education and only send kids to religious schools.
Well, I don't know if it's because they only want to send kids. I think there is a bigger, I don't want to go so far as saying conspiracy theory, since this, you just said that this is what you believe. But, you know, what is the actual push? Because there's not, if you're the only person who thinks that there is a legion of folks out there who want to ruin public schools, right? There's people who genuinely believe that. And I always come back to what is the motivation for that? And it's money.
Oh,
if that is true, it's money, because there's money to be made in sending kids to private schools and private, but any kind of privatization always means there's someone who can make a profit from it.
It's also about indoctrination. From my perspective, I went to a Catholic school. So I think it's about killing public education and getting children into religious schools to be indoctrinated.
But projecting because right now they're projecting that they're being indoctrinated by the left.
Exactly.
And all this inclusive,
yes,
emotionally responsive
diversity,
critical race theory. But is it not? It's still a fringe group, right? I mean, it's a growing movement. So in talking about just Moms for Liberty, which sounds like this is one big group, but there is multiple that have sprung up similar to it. But it's, you know, they've targeted teachers, administrators, parents, and school board members, orchestrating harassment campaigns that have left people fearing for their safety, and in some cases, their lives. And so some of this includes, there's one case that the Vice article talks about that is in Milwaukee. In Milwaukee County, Wisconsin, police had to be called to a school board meeting after members of Moms for Liberty accused attendees of being groomers and wanting to show explicit pictures to children. And then they go on to list some other examples of in Pennsylvania, the leader of a local Moms for Liberty chapter allegedly hijacked a dead woman's Facebook page to harass her enemies, including using the N-word and saying they should hang from a noose.
Well, that's lovely.
In Arkansas, the head of communications at the Lenoke County chapter said that librarians should be, quote, plowed down with a freaking gun. In Chattanooga, Tennessee, a member of a local Moms for Liberty chapter harassed an opposing group, threatened to report them for child abuse, and called them pedophile sympathizers. And in Charleston, South Carolina, a Moms for Liberty affiliated member of the local school board publicly stated he would show up at his son's teacher's doorstep with a gun if the teacher came out as transgender. And so, you know, and I want to be careful because I understand, like, when we have people like Sarah Harrison on and Dave Durdenberg to talk about the stuff going on in Waukesha, and parents who are on the opposite side of this debate of the culture inclusivity conversation, you know, they do disruptive things and trying to get attention, trying to get media attention to bring light to stuff. But this feels like there's the difference is harassment. Right? The difference is violent threats.
Yes.
And harassment. And so we have to go to our first break. But again, I come back to, should parents outside of the school district be able to contribute to those school board meetings? And I guess the separate question is, how do we mitigate harassment from some of these pretty like violent and outrageous groups?
Now we're picking on librarians, people. Give me a break.
844-967-2789. This is Ask Goes Wisconsin, and we'll be right back.
Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex.
you wish to know someone who could help develop your palate and a passion for diverse healthy teas from all around the world, cultivate tasting green that is owned by a certified tea specialist, and Jennifer is known for hosting a series of professional tea tastings, unique and upscale but inviting and open to all. Learn more about Cultivate Taste at cultivatetaste.com or call 920-770-7163. 920-770-7163. Cultivate your taste at Cultivate Taste Green Bay.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003. 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football. You're about to find out under the helmet with a Grave Digger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
The Devil's Advocate Radio Show.
This is the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown.
Where did you go where it's always a standing room on? You ain't gonna find that in Chicago.
It's never personal, only politics.
You ain't gonna find that in Minnesota, standing room on, because you can go to the jump ball and see if you a quarter in that outcome city.
The Devil's Advocate Radio Show.
That's where it is, man. We love football fans. Fans love us.
Weekdays before the 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. High temperatures reach up to 61 this afternoon under overcast skies, south winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight, lows level off around 41. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again. Tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 62. Temperatures a bit below average Saturday and Sunday, with highs from the upper 40s to the low 50s. Scattered showers possible both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist for tomorrow. Right now, it's 45.
A fresh approach to finding common ground in the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media. Civic Media.
Back to Ask Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bride. She is Jamie Matinair, and we are talking about parents showing up at school board meetings where they do not have children, and sometimes doing theatrical demonstrations to try to prove a point or stoke outrage, and not in the local situation that happened in the Martin School Board District this year. I wouldn't say this necessarily, I wouldn't categorize this as harassment, but it's part of a bigger trend of some of these groups, Moms for Liberty being one of the main ones, of threatening violence and actually harassing people. And how do we deal with this? How do we put a kibosh on this? Because this is not, one, a good use of anyone's time, or two, I don't think it's necessary. I mean, what is the goal?
844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. Which is much easier to remember. Tom from West Dallas has been very patient. Thank you, Tom. What do you want to say?
Hi there. Curious, how real is it that she's saying that they introduced a sex toy into an 8th grade sex ed class or what have you? And when I was in 6th grade, I vaguely remember us seeing some drawings and stuff and pointing out things. You know, it was nothing. Oh my God, I mean, it's stuff we all needed to know. Or should have known. And is this like a litter box thing where, oh, there's litter boxes in schools for these transgender furry kids, which would completely be bumped. And I think you get rid of that. If this didn't happen, then Burton Schools needs to put out a statement saying this is untrue. This never, ever happened. And
so
this person is making this up.
Well, it's not, they're not totally making it up, because she said it when she was at the Merton School Board District. She was saying this was happening in Wauwatosa, and then Sarah Ellis, who's a spokeswoman for Wauwatosa Schools, said that in Wauwatosa's new 8th grade curriculum, they have a lesson which does include a wooden penis model and a plastic model of a uterus that are accompanying reproductive anatomy, and so they use it for anatomy lessons. It's not like a silicone sex toy that was bought on like AdamandEve.com. And so it's like a little different as far as what's actually being used.
Well, and
right. Okay. But I said, what is wrong with that? So, I mean, it's, oh my God, it's a wooden diagram or something, the humanity of it all. You know?
Holy time, you're talking to someone who's spent time as a sexual health educator. You're preaching the choir.
I mean, Missouri has a budget surplus like we do, but more, and Missouri's Republican legislators did not approve $1,000 raise for all their teachers.
That's why I said, too, Tom, I really feel like there are groups that are gunning for public education, and I think it's frightening. We have Derek from TOSA on the line. Derek, thank you. What do you want to say?
Hello. Public education has been under assault for many, many, many years, both overtly and covertly. And it's a big pot of money that they want to take from and give to their friends in the choice schools and the parochial schools. We already paid for those kids partially. It's not right. But as far as the meeting, I believe Congressman Sensenbrenner used to do this. You go to his meetings, if you're in Waukesha, he would only allow the people from Waukesha. You have to fill out your name and maybe your question that you were going to ask and where you lived, and they would go through it and sort it by people that lived in the city first, and only if every single person from that city had spoken would the people from out of town be able to say something. That was how he handled it. He was a bit of a, you know, corporal kind of guy. But he didn't control his crowd because he wasn't popular at the time. But it would work on the flip side, too.
And I think that's smart. I think you prioritize people. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, in West Dallas, years and years ago, I believe that basically this whole circus stuff is really the best of times for them because their crusade is floundering. I mean, in Maltosa, speaking of Maltosa, I live in Maltosa, and this same crusade came through here with the quote-unquote Free Dads campaign.
Yeah.
And they wiped the floor with them, basically. They got booted out of here. So all these other people are jealous that we get this curriculum that they don't get, that I think was really going on. Because my theory has long been that they're miserable people. They're the indoctrinated, they're trapped in their faith and whatever it is, so they're miserable. They want everyone else to be just as miserable as they are. And nothing else drives them nuts more than seeing people actually thinking freely and not living miserably, so that their drive is to make everyone else as miserable as them. And I'm wondering, last thought, is that now that, you know, Dobbs happened and Roe v. Wade's been overturned, you know, those folks that walk outside of Planned Parenthood is kind of out of jobs now. So is that what they're doing now? They're going to the city meetings and the school meetings instead? Is that what they're doing to kind of fill their time now?
You know, you might be onto something there, Derek. That is not bad. Thank you so much for calling. We're running up against the clock. We have Jack from Merrimack joining us. Thanks, Jack. What do you want to say?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, your previous caller's comment reminded me of the old definition of Puritan, which is a person that has the extreme fear that somewhere someone may be having fun. I thought you might appreciate that. But what totally amazes me is the number of untrained people who are trying to decide various things for people that have got a lot of training.
Yes.
We've got judges that are overruling the FDA in terms of drug safety. We've got people in governorship or school boards that are banning classes or telling people what they should teach in class. I taught high school, and actually I taught grade levels from 6th through 2nd year college. For about 40 years, I taught in public, private, parochial schools, and I had people still towards the end of my career trying to tell me, for instance, that I should be teaching creationism in a biology class.
Oh, man.
You know, these are people that you know, they don't understand. Teaching,
Jack, I got to cut you off just because we're coming up against a break, but thank you so much for the call. But we're going to keep this going. So if you have thoughts on school boards and how to mitigate some of the theatrics, 844-967-2789, and we'll be right back.
The show. This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. The House has narrowly passed a bill that would increase the debt ceiling by $1.5 trillion. Also cut federal spending. Majority Leader Steve Scalise.
House Republicans are not going to sit on the sidelines. We're going to lead and present a solution. That's what this bill is.
And the bill, though not expected to pass the Senate, and the President says he vetoed it. Montana Republicans banning transgender lawmaker Zoe Zephyr from the House for the rest of the 2023 session is in retaliation for her scolding lawmakers over a ban on gender-affirming care for children.
I rose up in defense of my community that day, speaking to harms that these bills bring and that I have firsthand experience knowing about.
She'll still be allowed to vote remotely. President Biden and the South Korean president revealing a new plan to counter North Korea's nuclear threat by sending a U.S. nuclear ballistic sub to South Korea. Stocks fell again on Wall Street. This is ABC News.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Adair. Here's what you need to know. Wisconsin's only oil refinery reopens this summer, 5 years after it shut down following an explosion that injured 3 dozen workers. The AP reported the U.S. Chemical Safety Board found the refinery's lack of safeguards during the maintenance shutdown led to that blast, causing $550 million in damages. The Canadian-owned refinery in Superior is expected to resume full operations by the end of June and employ some 350 people. The national COVID-19 public health emergency ends May 11th, but hospitals remain busy with patients who need delayed care during the pandemic. Doctors say they're catching diseases at later stages because of those delays, and now they're seeing patients with more serious health problems. I'm Jamie Nair. This is Civic Media News.
Moms, they really are the best. So this year, give her something really special. Write a special message to your mom, and we'll broadcast it right here on this station throughout the entire weekend of Mother's Day. Call 608-819-8255. 608-819-8255.
Have you Googled yourself lately? Another negative post from an ex-employee or a former client? Maybe an outdated news article? Or sensitive personal information about your family? Search engines don't always get it right. But right or wrong, it's your reputation on the line. That's where Reputation Defender by Norton comes in. One of the most trusted names in online reputation repair. Reputation Defender has been fixing people's search results for over 15 years. Their cutting-edge approaches help you to wipe away unwanted information in your search results. They also promote the good stuff so that it rises to the top, helping you put your best foot forward. Your good name is too valuable to leave to the whims of a Google algorithm. Take control with Reputation Defender. You can start by getting your free reputation report card at ReputationDefender.com or call 800-401-6681 to speak to an expert. That's 800-401-6681.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you're age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
Should parents outside of a school district be able to contribute at a school board meeting? 844-967-2789. Or alternatively, what should we do as far as the theatrics that have been happening when it comes to school board meetings and intimidation that borders on harassment for what's happening in libraries and schools and for teachers? Actually, later today, we're talking to Jennifer Cameroon, who is a director at the Department of Public Instruction, to talk about a report that came out earlier this year the Education Preparation Program and Workforce Analysis Report, and we're going to talk about the teacher workforce and how it's in decline.
Yes.
And kind of the different layers of the funnel of enrollment up to the program, completion of the program, teachers who get their license but don't actually teach, and then how quickly people are leaving the profession, because this is a problem. This is a huge, huge problem. And I don't have evidence of this, or I don't have data of this beyond anecdotes, but it's part of the reason that teachers are not teaching is because of parents being crazy.
Well, that's like Jack from Miramax just said, he was being pressured to teach creationism in science class.
But we had, they want to play on this. This is actually, we've already like done this whole thing.
That sounds vaguely familiar, Kristen
Brown. That was a monkey trial a while ago.
It was. 844-967-2789-844-96-PARTY. Easier to remember, 414, checking in with a text. You're right, Jane. It's all about charter schools. All of it driven by the DeVos family. It is very Googleable. And I agree, Betsy DeVos's family has been into charter schools for ages. She was put as the head of education to kill public education. Also, Atlantic did a good story on GOP-backed Moms for Liberty pre-November in an effort to appeal to suburban women who are on the fence because of Roe.
Oh, that's interesting.
Isn't it?
I wonder who's funding them. I'm sure that's Googleable as well. I just have not looked enough into it as far as like where their actual backing is coming from, because, you know, they've grown, and they've grown pretty quickly as far as their, I think in the Vice article, it was 110,000 members and over almost 265 chapters across the country. And in Wisconsin specifically, I think it looked more, I didn't see any, although they referenced the issue that happened in Milwaukee suburbs. So, but it sounds like there's other groups that have popped up that aren't necessarily called Moms for Liberty.
Oh, definitely. There are offshoots, but as we've talked about before, this is a very coordinated effort by some to, again, our poor librarians, our poor school board members. What a sexy job that is anyway, being on a school board. And now we're just going to harass them until they flee. It's tragic. 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. Karina from Milwaukee joining us. What do you want to say, Karina?
Well, but I want to say that American education is obviously a cultural shock for me, because when my son started school here, I was shocked of the way it actually been for two children, because it just seems to be that you're moving from one school to another and the curriculum has changed, and it's so strange for me because, look, it's a one country, right? So if my son is in Wisconsin, he should have the same program as anywhere else, because he wants to go to college anywhere else. So if I live in Wisconsin and I don't have a curriculum, what I need to get into college, what kind of education is it? Why are we teaching whatever if the kids cannot use it in the future?
But
this is my point.
But this is where it comes down to local control, Karina, and states' rights. And there's always been a fight against federal guidelines for education, although we have a Department of Education, so they do issue some.
So I'm saying that the guidelines should come from the federal education, because it's a one country. People move around, people get into colleges in a different state, and you cannot, it's wrong. It's just all falls together. You're not giving kids a correct amount of knowledge and skills to be able to go outside of the state and enroll themselves in the program and be adequate. This is why they're dropping first year like a flight. Because they're not capable of actually connecting the dots.
Thank you so much, Karina. 844-967-2789-844-96-PARTY. Asking you if parents who don't belong to that school district have no kids within that school district, should they be able to show up at a school board meeting and say their piece? 262 says, as a parent, I'm okay with public having space to share their thoughts, regardless of how uncomfortable there might be. There's a man in Waukesha who's called librarians pedophiles. While I fervently disagree with him, it is his First Amendment right. The best part is it makes for some great TikToks, just like this woman in Merton. Also, logistically, people outside of the boundaries of a district should be able to speak. Sometimes you will get a grandparent or a teacher who lives outside of the district who wants to share their thoughts. I can see that being valid.
And I liked what was it Derek that said that Sessenbrenner used to just prioritize the people who actually live in the district first. And I think that seems like a good rule as far as you know, the people who are voting for the school board, the people who have kids in that district, at least kids be heard first. I think that seems like a good rule. Because like, that's why I didn't want to, I think when I first wrote the prompt, it said should be allowed to speak. And I feel like that's a bad way to put it because, yes, of course you should be allowed to speak, but it's also, and I don't know how you go about, because, you know, unless the individual case crosses the line of harassment and then you get the police involved, what else do you really do when things feel, or you publicly shame that one of the case in the Merton School District? I just want to know, like, did she already own these things? Or did she have to go out and buy them? Like, I'm so curious as far as how she went about, like, I'm going to go make this point. I'm going to bring a stink. And I need to order this. And if she did have to order it, did she go in person? Did she order online? I just have so many questions for her.
Inquiring minds looking for more details. 844-967-2789-844-96-PARTY. When you go to a lot of common council meetings, you have to state your name and your address before you speak. So, again, 262 says, I wonder if she borrowed them from a friend. Hey, are you using that later?
You know the thing that you have in your drawer next to your bed?
Yeah.
Can I borrow that?
Just for a couple hours. I'll get it right back to you. It'll be fine.
I promise I'm not actually going to use it. I just need it to make a point.
It's for demonstration purposes only.
And I guess, I don't know, maybe it is through the court of public opinion, because like I said, Wisconsin right now kind of took her to task on Twitter yesterday,
and Twitter's not
real life as far as how many people are actually on there. And I try to mitigate, I'm on there so much, but even for purposes of this show, knowing that how much people in our audience are on Twitter and are following and even like give a hoot as far as what's happening, but you know, for whatever it's worth, they did bring up the conversation instead of just sweeping it under the rug. And I kind of give them credit for it, because I think, I don't know, like this brings up a bigger question as far as the theme of the crossroads that the Republicans are at, as far as the cultural stuff that so many people, if anything, this is, instead of bringing people into their line of thinking, I feel like it's ostracizing people who maybe weren't that engaged in the first place.
Well, and that's exactly referring back to one of our texters said about they ticked off so many women with the Dobbs decision that now they're trying to find sideways to get them back. So, and that requires fear, because fear is very motivational. And so now we're going to scare them about where their kids are going to school, and we're going to scare them about school curriculums, and we're the only ones who are fighting for your children.
But I'm saying more of whether or not this is further ostracizing people, because I'm thinking back of when Sarah and Dave from Waukesha School Parents were in, and those two parents who were very involved. And I said, I was like, you know, when you talk to parents who are not the type of parents that show up at the school boards, they're busy, they have jobs, they just, you know, they kind of send their kids to school and expect everything to be fine. And like in that group, when they hear about some of these shenanigans, how many of them does it, like, I agree with that, and they fall in line with the line of thinking of a Moms for Liberty versus they hear about it and they go, well, that's nuts. And it further takes them out of that group. And so are they doing, are groups like Moms for Liberty or what was it, parents, education towards the left or anti, no left turn education.
Right.
It's not a terrible thing. I'm just, but, you know, for these groups, it's like you hear about these groups, you're like, I definitely don't want to be associated with that. And so it actually is almost an anti-recruitment tool for them to get more involved and shut this kind of stuff down.
You might be right. And again, this is happening around the country, so it will be interesting to see if they're picking up a lot more adherence. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY, if you want to check in. 414 says it's really dangerous when we have the general public, politicians, and school board members trying to determine what's appropriate to be taught at a particular age or grade. With my master's, I have over 7 years in training. That's what's necessary to teach particular courses, and also training what's appropriate at certain ages. Most people don't have that training, and it's usually people who don't have it who are trying to make changes in curriculums.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing with women's health.
It's women's health, but it also goes back to the conversation we had on Tuesday with the panelists who are going to be on the anti-Semitism and anti-Asian hate that's happening today under Milwaukee Turner's at 12. You know, like the decisions you make for your kid and you trying to make decisions for other kids.
Exactly.
And
you don't want your kid to read that book. Don't let them read that book. You don't want your child to have sex education. Then you don't have to have them attend that class, but to end it for everyone because of your choice. That's not very American.
No, and it also is interesting because I was reading, and I didn't know if we wanted to go there today or not, so we're not, because I don't know exactly where, I wouldn't follow the legislation and see where it goes. But it kind of brings back all of the legislation that's popping up across the country, and now it's been introduced in Wisconsin, which is creating a curfew for kids on social media, which would require the different apps to make alterations and have like a shut off and have parents have access to those social media accounts. And I think the lawmaker who introduced the bill said that, you know, parents have no tools to be able to protect their kids from social media. So the government has to step in. And it's like, they could just not buy them a phone.
There's that.
Like, you could just get your kid a flip phone or a Nokia brick phone that doesn't have access to their own accounts. Like, so it's not like you have no tools. And so it's just, it's like this back and forth on what where overreach is fine and where it's not.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, we have to wrap up this topic, but thank you for all of your contributions to this. And maybe we'll come back to it later because we certainly have more conversations around schools and teachers coming up. But when we come back, our Director of Content for Civic Media is here, Jimmy Costa, because the WIAA, so we're talking about high school sports now, voted on a big thing this week. So we're going to learn about that. Who is it good for? Who is it not good for? So if you care about high school sports, stay tuned. This is Episode of Wisconsin.
Daily differences here in the world over $50,000 follow up above the payroll of our tax time giveaway. Starting March 31st and going until April 29th, Host Chuck and Dave Cousin will be giving away some extra tax time money every Friday and Saturday in April. We'll start with warming everyone up. This is burning with hot seat drawing. It's every hour from noon to 6 for your chance to win up to $100 in reward play. Then we'll be giving away the green with drawing starting at 7 and going until 9 p.m. where two winners will win over $1,000 cash every hour. Guests must earn 25 points with their rewards club cards to participate. This is April Hulk Chunk and Mini Goose will be having an egg hunt for the adults. This time with our $1,000 egg hunt starting at noon and going until 9 p.m. every
Sunday and Monday. We'll be having hot Stevie Fortnite every hour to give away prizes up to $1,000 cash. Hop on over to the Rewards Club booth for complete contest rules and details. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor. Bring home some extra green this spring with Hoja Gaming Acusta, your place to play.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and an AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. High temperatures reach up to 61. This afternoon, under overcast skies, south winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies, tonight lows a little off around 41. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again. Tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 62. Temperatures a bit below average. Saturday and Sunday, with highs from the upper 40s to the low 50s. Scattered showers possible both days. For Civic Media, I'm your own just remark. Right now, it's 45.
Keeping the Fox Valley connected, informed, and entertained. This is Civic Media.
Come.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bryant. She is Jane Metanair. And moving on to another school topic that riles some parents up, school sports, high school sports, and the WIAA, because they voted this week on five different amendments, one of which seems like it will help competition. And so here to tell us more about what the vote is, what the proposal was, and who it's good for, is Civic Media's own director of digital content, Jimmy Cuska, on his inaugural As Goes Wisconsin appearance. How you doing, man?
I'm doing awesome. I gotta say, I've been listening to the show for a while, since even before I was with Civic Media, so I'm pretty excited to be part of it.
That's so nice to be doing that. So I guess, just a reminder, let's just get a level set. What is the WIAA?
So the WIAA is the state association. It is comprised of schools, four schools. It's a school association that governs interscholastic competitions, so the tournaments, state finals, all of that. It's all governed by it. I think there's this association sometimes. The WIAA is some big, huge entity that oversees all of the schools, but it's actually the schools, the WIAA is the schools. So that's an important distinction because a lot of people feel like the rules that come down or things like that's all handed down by some overarching, you know, huge government body or something, but it's the representation of schools is what dictates all the rules in athletic competition.
So it's not just a board of like 8 people who've been appointed, like scheming to get their districts like an upper hand?
Well, there are appointees and everything, and there's a board of control, there's executive directors, there's financial components, but no, it's there for the schools because this is what the schools choose. This is how they choose to govern themselves.
And so this week there was a big vote, and you kind of alerted it to us, but and I know because Don Brown is really involved in Waukesha South, and so we've talked about some of last fall, for example, there was a lot of issues as far as some football teams just ending their season because they were in conferences where they couldn't compete and kids were getting hurt. And so is the one when we're talking about the competition, is this kind of trying to address that as far as level setting schools so that there's better competition and then different schools don't put their kids in situations where they don't win a single game all year?
That's a separate conversation on conference alignment. It's the things that they need constant ongoing discussion on that. The proposal this week, though, addressed a bigger issue that I think affects mostly smaller and medium-sized schools, and that's since 2000 when private schools became part of the WIAA, when the WISAA, which is the former association for the private schools in the state, was brought into the WIAA. So now the private schools are members along with the public schools, and since 2000, there's been this I guess resentment is probably the right word for it, by some of the smaller schools, that when their small rural public school is, you know, going to a state tournament and then they get knocked out in a sectional or state final by a private school from an urban area. So it became kind of two debates. It kind of became a private versus public school debate and like an urban versus rural school debate. And what this plan was trying to do, it's not a perfect plan, it's modeled after the cities. Colorado specifically uses a very similar model to the plan that was approved yesterday. What it's doing is first acknowledging that just enrollment-based divisions and tournaments wasn't the only thing that could cause inequity. They brought this plan forward because they wanted to address some of the other areas where there could be inequity. Geography, access to resources, you know, socioeconomics, demographics of the school, things that they can use so when they start moving teams around a division under this plan, schools can appeal based on these things. So if they're a small public school that has this one group of kids that comes through, as it happens in a lot of small schools, you know, the small school where I'm from, you go and you have a 3-year run where you're great. It helps kind of alleviate that when those kids all graduate and then you're right back to where you traditionally have been, instead of punishing those small schools like that and moving them up. What it's trying to do is trying to level a playing field between schools that have a lot of success and they're going into state tournaments and winning all the time, and then some of the schools that are just kind of one-offs. There was really a lot of the proponents of this, and what they spoke at the annual meeting yesterday, the one person who did speak spoke to this and highlighted some of the differences between their school statistics versus some of the private schools in Northwestern and Wisconsin where they're based.
We're talking to Jimmy Kuska, who is the Civic Media Director of Digital Content and also a longtime WIAA sports announcer, so knows a lot about the WIAA. And where does it land now? So this passed, it's overwhelmingly passed. And so where does this leave as far as for anyone who has kids in high school, what does this mean for them?
So what it means is that if your school in a specific sport has a lot of success in a 3-year window, you would need to move up a division based on this plan. There's an appeals process to avoid that, especially if you're at a rural school. But what happens starting with the 2024 school year is that if you have a 3-year window that you've had a lot of success now, you need to move up a division. So that's what gets implemented. And really, that's the basis for it. That's the amendment we're talking about, the one with the competitive balance plan.
And so that's actually a good, because I think I had even confused that, because there's divisions, so there's Division 1, just like there's NC2A, right? There's Division 1, 2, does it go up to 4 still?
It depends on the sport. Some have up to 7 in football, but some sports only have 2.
And so, but then that's different than the conferences you play during the year, which is like when I went to Madison West, shout out Regents, and we were in the Big 8. And so we played like Janesville and Sun Prairie and Madison East and stuff like that. So that is a different conversation entirely as far as how competitive the conferences are versus this has to do more with like the state tournament play and the bigger group of schools statewide.
Correct, because the WIAA is the one who governs the tournament. It's the state tournament itself. And again, the rule kind of is intended in a way to just kind of make that a step towards making a more level playing field. I don't think this single-handedly does that, but they've been trying this for years. They had a proposal in 2015 and it failed. That was a plan that didn't have an appeals process. This one does. And this one did succeed almost 70%.
Wow. All right. Well, we'll have to keep you on call to come back and keep us posted about the things with sports, whether it's at the high school, college, or pro level. Are you going to be feeling quickly before we have to go to the top of our news about the Bucks loss?
One word. Disappointed, but optimistic that it'll be fun in the future. And if you want to learn more about the WIAA proposal, civicmedia.us has it for you.
Perfect. All right. Well, we're going to go to the top of the hour news, and then when we come back, we're going to talk to Ashley Lutheran, who's an investigative reporter for Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, about her heartbreaking story from earlier this month on a domestic violence case that really was not handled very well. So this is As Goes Wisconsin. Stay with us.
The bubblegum bars, me and homeboy would go wild for one. Beatles and the Kids Radio Show.
This is the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown.
Where did you go where it is always extended room home? You ain't gonna find that in Chicago.
It's never personal, only politics.
You ain't gonna find that in Minnesota standing room home because you can go to the dump ball and see the quarter in it.
Gimbals and the Kids Radio Show.
That's the way it is, man. We love football fans. Fans love us.
We did for the Senate on the local city media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who moved into this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how the belonging begins with us at work. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of the Green Bay.
WGBW 1598 in Denmark. W2 Fox 0 CD Green Bay.
And always.